This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Two incidents from yesterday that I just wanted to share with listeners very briefly. The Jiu-Jitsu Grand Slam tournament took place in Abu Dhabi yesterday and over the weekend. And Israeli jiu-jitsu fighter Yoav Manor, who is a junior, he's actually competing in the under 77 kilogram, and he was doing a kind of a warm-up ahead of the European championships that are due to take place, the junior championships due to take place in Romania later in this year. But as it turns out, in his category, he managed to gain a bronze medal, which is a great achievement for an Israeli jiu-jitsu fighter in Abu Dhabi. The confrontation, however, took place on the podium when the Kuwaiti competitor, who earned the gold medal, decided that he didn't want to be part of the photographs that are usual for the podium placed people, the people who earn the medals, and he refused to shake Yoav's hand at the end of the podium session. And then he screamed out, "Israelis are baby killers," or whatever the usual tropes are that people like to scream out. So a little kind of unpleasant. But to be fair, the hosts from the UAE were very, very gracious and were very accommodating and kind to Yoav, in spite of the insults that were issued to him. I'm not quite sure whether there's going to be any international ramifications for this particular gold medalist who from Kuwait who decided that, you know, he was going to be unsportsmanlike, but unfortunately that is what Israeli sports people are having to deal with almost on a constant basis. So great that the bronze medal was won, unfortunately marred a little bit by the unpleasant incident. So that happened in Abu Dhabi yesterday. And then just another story from right on our doorstep here in Dizengoff Street in Tel Aviv, a massive bus smash in Dizengoff Street yesterday, which really was quite serious. An 11-year-old girl has been critically injured and is fighting for her life in hospital after that bus went out of control. I'm not exactly sure of what happened in the incident, whether there were two buses involved, but I do know that one of the buses went into a tree and then brought down power lines, which took electricity out for much of the area around Dizengoff Street and the entire central Tel Aviv area. So a very, very serious smash. Another 10 people, in addition to this young girl, were injured, some of them quite badly. So serious smash. Dizengoff Street, of course, a relatively narrow street right in the center of Tel Aviv. It has changed in recent years, with it being more dedicated to public transport than it used to be. Once upon a time, private cars could drive down Dizengoff Street, and then for a time they made it kind of one way for private transportation. But these days, Dizengoff Street is really off limits to private transport, and it's all really public transport, buses and taxis and public transport. But of course, we are really hopeful that all of those who were injured in yesterday's accident will recover soon and will fully recover and get back to usual things. So we're really sad about the serious smash that took place yesterday.
President Trump has made it public that he called off an attack on Iran that was scheduled for today. He claims that countries in the region requested him to give the peace talk some time. I don't know, Anthony. I don't know. I don't know what's real anymore. I don't know what's not. Talk to me. Tell me what you think is going on. First of all, what is going on, and how do we interpret this?
Well, President Trump, what he said, you know, let's take, as we like to say, the pshat, let's take the simple, what was said, and what was simply said is that an attack was planned for today against Iran. No details about exactly what type of attack was planned, but apparently there was an attack planned for today, and that's now been called off because the peace talks are serious. Now, and countries in the region, and I don't know whether the countries were actually mentioned, but from that we can infer United Arab Emirates, maybe Saudi Arabia, and countries in the region particularly requested the president not to carry out this attack today against Iran. I don't know what peace talks are going on right now. We certainly are not privy to any peace talks going on. And I know that President Trump very much likes to do whatever he's doing out in the open. And in fact, sometimes it's so out in the open that more is said about it than is really being done behind the scenes. So it's surprising to me that there may well be some peace talks going on that could be serious and that have been happening without us really knowing much about it. And the other question is whether, you know, as you say, it's very, very difficult to know what's real and what's not real, because we know that the United Arab Emirates has suffered a number of attacks in recent days carried out by Iran, mostly in the form of explosive drones that have been quite targeted in their attacks. One, as I mentioned yesterday, managed to get through the security cordon and attack the power plant that fuels the nuclear station in the United Arab Emirates. And I would have thought that that's a pretty serious kind of breach, and that the UAE might well feel that it would be good for the US to go in and potentially disable Iran from being able to carry out attacks like this in the future, if indeed that is what the US attack was all about. So it's a little bit of a surprise to me that the president's come out saying, well, actually, countries in the region have asked me to call it off, and I'm allowing these peace talks to take place, which we don't know very much about. All of this sounds a little strange, and one has to wonder, as you say, what's real and what's not real, and whether this is not something of a tactic to try and get peace talks going again, to try and give an impression of some sort, to try and throw Iran off the trail as to when an attack really is going to happen. When the attack took place on February the 28th, even though there had been months and months and months of speculation about this attack and a buildup of forces around the region, and everybody was following you know, all of the events and expecting an attack to take place. And yet when the attack took place on February the 28th, a lot of people were surprised, most notably the Iranians, because they were caught sort of unawares, even though, as I say, everything had been built up in the public view for so long. So I just wonder whether this might not be another attempt to throw people off the trail and to try to sort of present something that really isn't there in order to try and earn in some way an element of surprise if indeed something is going to happen. So I'm not really quite sure exactly how to interpret that statement. The fact that it was made so public and so willingly that an attack had been planned, that seems very, very strange from a military tactic point of view. To want to come out and make the statement that, oh, we're ready, but we're not going to do it now, which means we are still ready and we could do it at any moment. One of the statements I saw, one of the reports that I read, said that the president had mentioned that it would be delayed for a few days. So we're not talking about weeks or months here. We're talking about potentially days in which something could happen. So I think we will have to kind of interpret all of what's happened over the last day or two with the benefit of some hindsight. Once whatever transpires over the next week or two happens, then we can look back and say, oh, that was the tactic, that was really what was happening. But for now, at least, I think we're all a little confused as to whether there really are peace talks, whether there really was an attack planned today, and whether this is not just simply an attempt to try and throw everybody off the trail.
There has been claimed that the International Criminal Court is considering a request to issue an international arrest warrant for Israeli Minister of Finance Smotrich. How significant is this?
I think this is quite significant. I mean, we know already that the International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for two Israelis, being Prime Minister Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. They were already cited, and there are international arrest warrants out for them to be arrested. And as a result of that, both of those people are very, very cautious about where they travel and how they travel, and potentially even overflying a country that is party to the accord that has set up the International Criminal Court is apparently not allowed, and countries could deny a plane overfly rights if they know that either Prime Minister Netanyahu or indeed former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant might be on that plane. That plane could be denied overfly rights. So I think it is a significant moment because things have changed within the International Criminal Court. We know that the makeup of the International Criminal Court as it was then, when those trials were taking place and when the arrest warrants were issued for Netanyahu and Gallant, the judges have changed. The prosecutor, interestingly, the chief prosecutor is still there, although I understood that he had taken leave of absence because he himself had come under attack of some behavior that wasn't a particularly becoming of a prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, There were accusations that were thrown out about him. But what we understand about the latest attempt to cite Bezalel Smotrich and to issue this arrest warrant against him is that apparently it's all secret. This is a secret kind of a process that's going through at the International Criminal Court, where the prosecutor has requested the judges to issue this international arrest warrant. And I wonder why it has to be secret and whether that's actually something that is acceptable in law, that you can have an arrest warrant issued against you without even really knowing about the proceedings and without being able in any way to come and present your arguments, if that's something that you know the particular jurisdiction allows you to do. So all of this is a little strange. Apparently it's secret. Apparently there are also investigations being conducted against Itamar Ben-Gvir. So the two of them, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, at the moment seem to be the subject of some work at the International Criminal Court. And I interpret this to simply be another attempt to smear Israel's name and to be, you know, to stand up in the international arena and to bring in Israel's name into disrepute and to try and damage Israel as much as possible. It's anti-Israeli, it's anti-Jewish. And let's be honest, there are so many people out in the world who have committed war crimes and who have committed the crime of apartheid, because that's really what's being cited against Smotrich. Allegations of crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crime of apartheid. That was the way that things were put out. And I am sure that there are more than a few other people out in the world who could probably fall into at least one of those categories and for whom international arrest warrants could be issued quite justifiably. And yet somehow they seem to fall off the radar and the focus seems to be very much on Israel once again at the International Criminal Court. So I'm looking at this as being very an attempt to really try and single Israel out on the international stage again. No surprises, I guess. And it'll be interesting to see how all of this turns out. But certainly at the International Criminal Court anyway, they've got their own issues to deal with. And once again, you know, is this an attempt to try and deflect the issues that they've been having to deal with internally and try to put Israel back on the stage? Because that seems to be something of a unifying force. People seem to come around and think, you know, that's really a good thing, and to look at the International Criminal Court in a more positive light. I don't know. But I think that this is certainly a worrying development, and I've no idea whether there is a country involved who might be processing of this, or whether this has just come from the prosecution themselves within the International Criminal Court.
Hamas has already appointed a new head for its military wing in Gaza. That is, I guess, not unexpected. What do we know?
Well, I think it's very interesting to see how all of this has played out because, as we know, the previous head is Adin al-Haddad was murdered at the end of last week. He was assassinated by a very, very clinical strike by the IDF. No sooner has he been buried, Hamas has named Mohammed Ouda as the new leader of its military wing in Gaza. Now, Mohammed Ouda himself has certain credentials. He is a man who served as the head of military intelligence for the Qassam Brigades during the time of the October 7th massacre. So he is a person certainly with blood on his hands. He was somebody who was dealing with getting intelligence in order to carry out that massacre. He was previously someone who served under Mohammed Diouf, who was a previous military chief, and under Mohammed Sinwar, who also held this position. And we understand that Ouda had been offered to take over from Mohammed Sinwar after Sinwar was killed, but he apparently turned it down. And that was only a year ago that he decided that he didn't want this job, and perhaps he didn't fancy the idea of having to shower with a helmet on. But who knows exactly why it was that he's turned down the job. Anyway, a year later, he's now been put into the job, and I suspect that his days are numbered because not only does he have a job which will be very much under the radar and under the spotlight in the crosshairs, perhaps, of the IDF, but also he has history where he was very much involved in events of October the 7th. And we've seen that the IDF has slowly but surely pursued people who had significant roles on October the 7th massacre and beyond that. And so I suspect that he is not going to last very long. Interestingly, he is already the fourth person in this job since the start of this war, which is less than 3 years ago. So I suppose that all the writing is on the wall, and we will see how it pans out from here. I'm sure that the IDF have him very much in their sights.
I am pretty sure that they do. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.